We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to the Extra Sauce Podcast.
It's my fancy sauce.
I want some fancy sauce.
Yeah.
I'm not done using it.
With the czar of sauces, Greg Hill.
Well, I see you're not calling in sick for the podcast. Apparently, that's only the regular show where you call in sick of late.
Somebody has called in sick way more than me since the beginning of this year.
Somebody has a lot of stored sick days. If you're referring to me, Mr.
Yes.
Shu.
Somebody over here. Why are we talking like this? It's ridiculous.
I'm glad you're feeling up,
thank you.
Up for the podcast this week.
Thanks to the nuclear option, I like to call the Z-Pack.
Oh yeah, the Z-Pack.
Yes.
You know, if it weren't for those of you who abuse the Z-Pack, there'd be no super gonorrhea. You know that, right? You know,
right.
I mean, there's the whole entire population has been branded with some kind of an STD, and it's because the antibiotics don't work anymore.
Greg, society demands production, and if you don't show up, there is no production.
That's right. No
so
days
gonorrhea
off.
Or not, you better show up to work, buddy.
Well, speaking of STDs, we have a very exciting podcast on the way. And we're going to get some extra sauce on a place that is often in the news, the Villages retirement community in Florida. In fact, we were discussing the Villages this week because a 76-year-old woman there got a DUI on a golf cart.
Yes.
And we have discussed the Villages. It is often in the news. It happens to be, when it comes to STDs, the single community in America with the largest percentage of those who suffer from STDs, if you believe those news reports. So we're going to find out what senior living is like, what it's really like at the Villages, from an author who went undercover to investigate the rumors of senior citizen drinking, drug use, and orgies. We're also going to get some extra sauce this week on a proposal in our state legislature to name an official rock song of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
That's right. Priorities. This should be right at the top of the list.
Well, you're Natick-centric because you grew up there, and
that's
so
right.
You're in favor of this.
Absolutely. This is a great song.
As the president of the Massachusetts chapter of the Bee Gees fan club, I have an issue with I have an issue with any song other than Massachusetts being the official rock song of Massachusetts. Maybe the Bee Gees could be the official pop song of Mass. But, you know, how about Aaron Lewis? Lewis, that song, Massachusetts.
That's a great example. That's
a
beautiful song.
Yeah.
It totally mentions locales here in the Commonwealth. Yeah.
There's so many great songs that could be the official rock song of Massachusetts. It's hard to pick.
Yeah. And if you want to do the Bee Gees, you better hurry up because there's just Barry left.
Yeah.
Well, jinx.
You jinxed Barry Gibb. You brought Barry Gibb up. Why would you do that?
Barry.
Why would you do that? Maybe they can do it executive order style like Trump does, and Charlie Baker can just ram it right through.
It's democracy.
Just sign an executive order. Maybe the Bee Gees would be the official pop song of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I think this proposal for the official rock song of Massachusetts is a pretty good one. It's actually come up before, and we're going to discuss that with Representative David Linsky, who is behind this bill in just a little bit. But first, in 2008, Massachusetts author Andrew Bleckman noticed that his next-door neighbors had suddenly up and left and headed off to a retirement community in Florida he had never heard of called the Villages. Bleckman decided to find out why and went undercover and ended up writing a book which he called Leisureville. And he joins us now with a little extra sauce on the Villages retirement community in Florida.
Yes.
Thanks for being on. We've been obsessed by the Villages on our program for quite some time. And earlier this week, there was a news report about a woman in her 70s who had unfortunately been involved in a driving while intoxicated situation. And
golf cart?
It was not a golf cart. I asked the same thing, I think, on the air. It was like a Cadillac DeVille or something. But it made me realize that it would be interesting for those of us who I'm 50, but I'm getting near retirement age, I suppose, and it might be interesting for us to get a little extra sauce on the Villages, which you discovered and ended up writing your book Leisureville on after your neighbors kind of abruptly up and moved to the Villages. Is that correct?
It is, in fact. In fact, I'm looking out the window across the street at my former neighbor's house.
Where was this? Where do you guys...
two owners since then. What's that? I'm in Great Barrington, Massachusetts.
Okay.
So the far other end of the state from all of you. I could completely understand your fascination with the Villages. I was so fascinated by it that I wrote a book about it. It's an unusual social phenomenon. I mean, you're looking at a community that is one and a half times the size of Manhattan geographically.
Amazing. New York City.
It has about 110,000 people. And it's all gated.
Yeah. And no kids. No kids.
Yeah, children can visit, but they get guest passes that time out like international visas.
Wow. They're really strict on that, right?
Yeah.
They don't want the kids running around.
Yeah, kids are basically, no joke, contraband.
Yeah.
I mean, they're basically illegal aliens in these communities. I mean, that is the reality.
So your neighbors, they moved, and that made you curious about the Villages, and you ended up going there.
Yeah, I couldn't get my head around it, but they were always showing me like all the Guinness Book of World Records record breakings that were always happening there, like the longest electric slide. Most people, the longest or the biggest golf cart tailgate, the longest golf cart parade. They seem to be obsessed with Guinness World Book of Records. Anyway, so I decided to go down there. Had no idea what to pack. I've never been to a senior community like that, so I brought Argyle socks and a vest. And I quickly realized that, if I wanted my liver to continue functioning, I was going to have to get out of there at some point. Because there's a lot of partying down there.
Yeah. You met, in the book, you met Frank, who was in his 70s. Mm-hmm. And he described a typical day to you.
Yeah. Frank basically likes to get stoned.
Yeah.
And it was nothing quite like getting stoned with a guy in his mid to late 70s and doing being a passenger on a golf cart as he did figure eights, on the lawn.
Oh, my God.
it's a little bit Orwellian, the way you describe it in the book, where the Villages has its own newspaper, its own radio station, its own TV stations, and it's almost as if they begin every day on the radio with this kind of Orwellian prophecy about making it a great day, and it's a beautiful day at the Villages. Was it almost like you had joined a cult?
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of the Truman Show.
Yes.
Or that old TV show about the prisoner on the island, and he couldn't ever escape. It was extremely weird. In fact, everywhere you go, first of all, everyone goes everywhere on golf carts.
Yeah.
And we're talking vast distances. And there's even tunnels and bridges for the golf carts. Secondly, you have these three town centers that were built within the last 15 years on cow fields. And they look like little cities, and they were themed, literally, by entertainment specialists to look old-fashioned. They even have, semi-buried tram tracks to make it look like there used to be a tram. And Lighthouse, they have fake histories about everything. You're living in a community that basically is themed and has a false history, and there's very little reality there. And the headlines come out of, and they're always very, very conservative. About 99% Republican. and very conservative Republican. But the headlines come out of literally fake stones in the squares, out of light lampposts, that kind of thing.
Really?
Now, does one family still run the complex?
Yeah, it's a privately owned city. Really uncanny. It's kind of like a wet dream for someone who's an extreme libertarian and conservative.
Speaking of it being a wet dream, you run into in the book a 55-year-old woman, and the first thing that she says to you is how horny she is.
Yeah. I don't know if I just got in with the wrong crowd, but, I mean, I came across that a lot. Look, if every day, if you basically live on a protected campus, so it's basically like a college campus, but there's no classes unless you want to take some volunteer classes. So every day is Saturday.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're some type of person, what are you going to do? Basically, there's a lot of drinking and a lot of sex.
And that's
and golf.
And that's, yeah, well, there's 30 golf courses, yeah. Right? So you can play golf on a different course every day for a month.
Is that kind of behavior, do you think that, or did you get a sense that it was maybe encouraged?
Like, hard to say. I mean, there's certainly happy hour, and, you know, the happy hour is kind of long there because people don't have much to do. I mean, actually, they have a ton to do, but they don't have any real-life responsibilities. So you just kind of tool into town on your golf cart. In fact, there's a lot, you know, and they even make the beer mugs. They look like these big, heavy things, but they make them out of, like, light plastic so older wrists can handle it. Yeah, it's kind of like beer and circus. You know,
oh, my God.
The emperor subsidizes the beer and the early bird special so that keeps the populace happy.
And the cover bands, I mean, at one point you heard a great version of Brick House. And, I mean, these people are in their 70s. They're drunk. They're on Viagra. They're high. They're on, and they're in their golf courts, and they're looking to have an orgy, basically.
They're looking to have fun. I mean, don't get me wrong in the sense that, I mean, there's still people who are taking poetry classes and history classes, you know, not for credit, but just kind of, I don't know, kind of like my folks do where they live,
right.
Which is actually an integrated community. But you know, they have a little clubhouse, and they take, I don't know. They take different classes amongst with each other. But, I mean, you have some people who are quiet, and you have a lot of people who want to party. You know, the average age there actually is more like, you know, 50s.
Mm.
You have to be 55 or older to live there, but you can also have a younger spouse. You just can't have kids. No one under 19 can live there.
Oh, I see.
So I'm going to – see, I got, 4.5 years left.
Right, until you're 55.
And then retirement. Right. I mean, I'm done 4.5 years on this contract. I'm going to head right to the villages. These kinds of retirement utopias first started to pop up in the U.S. in the 50s, really.
Yeah, that's right. It was dealt actually. Well, first one was kind of a like an idealistic kibbutz that, you know, was supposed to be, you know, it was called Youngtown. It was supposed to be a place for older people to go and be amongst themselves. And it was a very tiny community. It was in Arizona. What was used to be very far outside of Phoenix, and now it's part of Phoenix. And Del Webb, who used to own the Yankees and was a big developer, decided to make it big, make something just like it but bigger across the street, and that's how Sun City started. I mean, at the time, there was no such thing as retirement. Basically, you got old and then you died.
Yeah,
you worked until the end. And a lot of people predicted it would never work, because older people would miss their grandchildren and feel isolated and whatever. But Del Webb took a real big chance to build it, and it was immediately successful. Interestingly, he got his experience in building planned communities by building Japanese internment camps all through California. But you know, these were anything but internment camps. But you know, they were planned centralized communities.
I got the feeling toward the end of Leisureville that you were somewhat disenfranchised or disenchanted by your experience there. Did it leave you with a positive or a negative feeling?
Well, first of all, you know, we don't take care of our elderly that well, you know. So I mean, I can see why people feel isolated. You know, it's our communities aren't that walkable. You know, a lot of people can't even walk to get the paper or milk. They have to get in their car, so it's hard to age in place. But these communities aren't even for the so-called elderly. They're for people who just want to secede from society. And what I worry about is when too many people secede from society. And when too many people kind of self-segregate, because I find that never works well. I mean, I believe in community. I live in the Berkshires, and you know, in a small town here. I was even on the select board. You know, my friends are age, you know, 70s to 20s, and I believe in integration. But when you self-segregate, people forget what they have in common. And a perfect example would be Sun City. Actually, eventually, it was surrounded by, you know, family communities as Phoenix grew. And the residents of Sun City defeated 17 school bond measures in 12 years. Mm. They were a powerful voting bloc. They didn't want to spend a penny in taxes for the next generations. And the kids were literally going to schools in trailers and in three shifts, some starting at 5 in the morning, you know, having lunch at, you know, 10 because or 9 or 10 because that was halfway through the day. And that's kind of what happened, you know, and I don't think that ever has it. You know, self-segregation, I don't think ever really works. It's not positive for society.
Well,
I mean, I would have no issue if these were for people, you know, these communities were for 75 and older. But we're talking, you know, middle-aged folks are going there and having a ball and not paying any taxes for local schools.
Well, you know, to me, I mean, it sounds like a great place. It sounds like UMass Amherst mid-80s, like you said, without the classes. Why wouldn't I want to go there? And so to argue with you, it's like, well, these people are going there. They're segregating themselves because they've spent all their lives working or doing whatever they did.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're gonna go out literally.
Now they just want to have sex like rabbits.
Right,
they want to fornicate like rabbits.
With a bang. They want to go out with a bang, and they don't care how old they are, and they know they're going to die soon anyway. Maybe they're just embracing reality more than, say, you know, if they stayed with their families and or in their communities. I don't know.
No, I hear what you're saying. And yeah, sure, that sounds like a lot of fun. But, I mean, yes. Don't forget, I mean, these communities do not allow children. So you're looking at a city of 110,000 people, average age is in the 50s, early 60s, and no children are allowed. So, you know, not just that, but these people are seceding from society. They don't want to have anything to do, you know, with local schools or anything. They basically just want to be left alone. What happens when, like, everyone does that?
Yeah. Does the
you know, I mean, there's a social covenant in this you know, country, and you know, we're the Commonwealth. You know, we're all supposed to kind of keep an eye on each other. I can see people thinking, okay, I've worked hard, I'm done, I don't want to pay any more taxes. And if that's your thing, then go ahead. But I found a lot of women who did miss their grandkids and did miss, like, being around all ages. I mean, it's a weird situation. Children literally are contraband. In Arizona, at Youngtown, there was a kid whose parents were abusing him, so he went to go live with his grandparents. And Youngtown literally fined the grandparents $100 a day and put a sign on their lawn saying that this family is harboring a minor.
It was a family member.
Yeah. Now, does the... Like, does it all shut down early? Like, is the party, has everybody had sex and Viagra and gotten high by 7 p.m. and they go to bed, or do they stay up late and go well into the early morning hours?
Well, it's interesting. It's because it's owned privately. So basically, you know, it's literally a private city owned by a family. So there is almost like, I wouldn't call it a curfew, but it's almost like they roll off the carpets in the city, in the town centers at around 9 or 10. And that's it. Everything just kind of turns off. But there's, you know, there's always after parties, if that's your thing.
And what about STDs and I guess
it was the capital. STD capital of the country
for
at
a
one
while.
Point?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, if no one's going to get pregnant, why wear a condom?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's. I'll tell you what. It's your experience there. I mean, did you accidentally encounter any elderly people skinny dipping or in the bushes, pool orgy or anything like that?
You guys.
This is what people want to know. These stories come out almost bi-weekly about this place, about the drunk driving or someone getting caught having sex in a car outside of one of the clubs there or something. So, yeah, this is what people want to know. What the heck?
Well, I find, even with hospice work that I've done, I find that older people are just younger people that are older. So they're going to get in just the kind of trouble you put enough of them together. No, there's a lot of drunk driving, but it's golf carts. There are even golf cart fatalities where they flip, go into a tree. I mean, it's hard to believe, but it's true.
Yeah.
I was always looking for the swingers club just because I thought it'd be fun to write about, but it was always just kind of whispered about. I never actually found it. And part of me is relieved.
Yeah, part of you. Yeah, part of part of us is relieved.
Yes,
also,
yes.
The book is called Leisureville, and it's about an experience that you'll never forget, your trip to the Villages. And thanks for giving us a little extra sauce on the Villages this week.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for your interest.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Run, runner, run, runner. Going faster, miles an hour. Gonna drive fast and stop and shop. With the radio on. I'm in love with Massachusetts.
Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers released that song, Roadrunner, in 1977. It was a modest radio hit here in Massachusetts, but it would go on to become an anthem of sorts for those massholes who love where they live.
That's right. It's a classic.
It is a classic.
It's a true anthem.
It's a classic, and State Representative Daniel Linsky has filed legislation to make that song live in infamy as the official rock song of the Commonwealth. And he joins us now with a little extra sauce on the bill in the Massachusetts legislature that he has proposed.
Yes.
Nice to hear that that this matter is back before the great and general court. I believe it was our current mayor, Marty Walsh, when he was a representative, who last suggested that Roadrunner ought to be the official song of the Commonwealth. You echo that sentiment, I guess.
Well, absolutely. I have the privilege of having grown up in one of the great towns in Massachusetts, Natick, Massachusetts, and I actually grew up around the corner from Jonathan Richman, who is one of the great rock poets of our generation. And his song, Roadrunner, really captures the spirit of Massachusetts. It talks about cruising Route 9 and Route 128 and the stop and shop in Natick and what it was like to be a child of Massachusetts and Greater Boston in the 60s and 70s. So I have filed a bill, as I have in previous years, to make Roadrunner the official rock song of Massachusetts.
You know, as a former resident of Natick who grew up behind that Stop and Shop, Rep Linsky.
As did I, in the Wethersfield neighborhood.
Oh, what street did you live on?
I lived on Sheffield Road.
No way. I lived on, Wentworth, right next to
Absolutely.
Wilson.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, can you two keep...
You know what a special neighborhood it was.
Yeah. Can you two keep this Natick reunion to the cable vision channel? This is we're doing a podcast here. Now,
I understand.
Are you receiving support from... who is supporting this and who's against it amongst your fellow legislators?
Well, actually, when I first filed the bill, those fans of Aerosmith were initially opposed to it.
Yeah.
However, I was able to bring them over from the dark side and convince them that Roadrunner was a better song. So right now, there is no organized opposition.
I think some of my fellow Republicans may prefer the Bee Gees and the song Massachusetts.
They're not even American.
So what? The song is called Massachusetts. It doesn't get any more Massachusetts than a song called Massachusetts.
If we had an official wimp rock song of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, clearly the Bee Gees version of Massachusetts would be the front runner.
Now, what do you have against Joan Jett? I mean, she had a version of Roadrunner.
She's not from the Commonwealth.
Okay,
sir.
So it's Jonathan Richman because he's from the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
That's why, yeah.
Absolutely. And he wrote the song, which is the most important
thing. I think the speaker is very close with James Taylor. They're in the same generation. Is there going to be any issues from him on this?
No, I think that everyone understands that the pike may be snow-covered from Stockbridge to Boston, that Route 9, the Stop and Shop, and Route 128 may be a much better fit for what living in Massachusetts is all about.
Have you heard from Jonathan Richman at all during this process?
Jonathan, as you may know, is a bit of an iconoclast.
Yes.
We've had some communication. He told me, actually, unfortunately, this is not his favorite song that he wrote. And it's really, it's a groundswell of local support for the song. Jonathan clearly marches to the beat of his own drummer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What about Ken Casey and the Dropkick Murphys? I mean, you're leaving...
Never heard of them.
You're leaving their song State of Massachusetts entirely out of this.
Well, you know, we may want to ship off to Boston, but we're going to leave that one to the Boston Red Sox and bringing a pitcher into the bullpen.
All right.
May I add... Roadrunner is more of a positive view of the Commonwealth, whereas State
true.
Of Massachusetts,
that's absolutely correct.
Yeah, maybe a little dark.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll tell you the best part of this interview is all this Natick talk has me thinking about the odor of Wonder Bread and Twinkies from the from the production plant back in the day. And
there was an episode of Family Guy.
Yep.
That actually brought up the fact that there was a Twinkie plant in Natick, Massachusetts.
Yeah, it was at the apocalypse.
How critical that was to the storyline. Yeah.
Now, when will this come up for a vote?
Well, it's before the committee on, believe it or not, state administration.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, that committee gave it a quick hearing and a quick positive recommendation to the floor, but I couldn't get it to the floor. So I'm expecting that once again I'll get good committee support with a positive recommendation. And what I really need your listeners and your fans to do is to contact their own state representative and their own state senator and say, please support this bill. Obviously I have a lot of Jonathan Richmond fans contact me because I'm the sponsor. But if we're going to make this happen, we need to have people all over Massachusetts contact their own state rep and their own state senator and to get this onto the agenda.
I'd contact mine, but it's Senator Eldridge, and he may be concerned that those working at the Stop and Shop were not making enough money an hour.
Well, we can attach this to a change in the minimum wage bill, and then Jamie will support it.
Then Jamie Eldridge will support it. Well... I'll tell you what, I have been officially appointed the Czar of Sauce here in the Commonwealth by the governor, so I'm thinking about lending my support to this, and in fact, the next time the governor is in the studio, as he is every month, for Breakfast with Baker, maybe we'll see if he's on board with this.
I think he should be. I think that when the governor was growing up in Needham, just two towns away from Natick, he understands what it was like to grow up in that area. And I think he probably has been to the Stop and Shop, and he has cruised Route 9 at 128 in his younger days.
However, there's a photo of him as a young man right up front in the front row at an Aerosmith show that Aerosmith ran last year. So
I'm telling you.
I don't know. He may be an Aerosmith guy. He might not be a Jonathan Richmond and the Modern Lovers guy.
With all due respect.
There's no reason you can't be both.
You can be both?
You can be fans, but with all due respect, there's not one Aerosmith song that touches Roadrunner.
We're going to excise all the Bee Gees fans out of the equation as well.
Typical politician. He's basically saying you can be both. You don't have to choose. That's it. All right. Well, we're going to follow along with this. We followed along with it last time, and it didn't get anywhere, just like that 5% income tax that we all voted for quite some time ago. So we'll... no comment? Did we lose you, Representative?
Yeah, I'm having a little trouble hearing you right now.
Nice.
All right. Well, we'll see how this goes, and thanks for giving us a little extra sauce on Roadrunner as the official song of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
All right. Thank you, folks.
Right. Bye-bye.
Did you ever work at the Stop and Shop in Natick when you were growing up?
No, but I hung out back in the alley and smoked a few cigarettes. Does that count?
I thought you did that at Fun and Games.
Yes, there too. Jonathan Richmond and I had the same art teacher.
Really?
Yes, the late, great Lawrence Brannigan of Natick High School.
Yeah.
And when I found out that he had Jonathan Richmond for a student, I just bothered him incessantly to the point where he said, Michael, I can't tell you anymore. Please shut up.
Any relation to Laura Branigan?
No.
Who had a hit with Gloria?
Are we ear-mothing right now?
No, we don't. We're up against the clock. What was? So you never worked at the Stop. But what were your jobs when you were going to Natick High School? What did you do? Did you have part-time jobs?
Yes, I worked at Orange Julius at the food court at the Natick Mall, and then I transferred over to being a maintenance worker for the food court, and then I landed a plum job working at Charlie Chang's of California, working the walk, and then I luckily got a job at Strawberries out there in Framingham on 9.
Orange Julius, by the way, underrated product. I mean,
you know what the secret is?
It's the powder. It's the dust, right?
It's the cocaine.
It was like it was like 90% chemical and 10% drink, but it was a great. I don't believe, are they still in business?
I don't know. It was like powdered sugar and corn. Corn syrup, corn starch,
corn cardboard.
Stuff. That kind of made it thick a little bit.
Corrugated rubber. Right. What was the
and puppies? No, there were no puppies in Orange Julius.
What made you get into radio though?
Someone told me that I could get free records and tickets.
Did you work for a college radio station when you went where'd you go to?
I went to North Adams State College, which is now Mass College of Liberal Arts.
It's been rebranded.
Yeah, we messed it up pretty bad.
Yeah.
Before that, we just did a lot of road trips with the family up and down the East Coast in my dad's Datsun.
Yeah.
And listening to the radio, a lot of AM radio when I was younger. And it just sounded like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
Has it been fun? Listen.
At times.
I don't think you, I've told the story before of setting two turntables up in my garage and doing a radio show every day for no one, which is similar to what I do now.
Yeah.
Let's be fair.
There's at least a dozen people listening.
I still do a show now where no one's listening. I don't. And I enjoy it. Like, I mean, I like hearing myself talk.
You know
who's a big fan of the morning show? Me.
President of the fan club and the member.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, see, I had the advantage of when I was going to high school at Neshoba, I had a friend who worked at the Lincoln Sudbury High School radio station, which was called WIAJ.
Was that broadcast or was that in-house?
No, it was broadcast. It was like 10 watts.
See, that's nice. Natick High had an in-house one.
Right. Had a better signal than some commercial radio stations do.
Oh, really?
But I went and did a show there. And so I had already been doing my own show in my garage, and I was able to contractually work out a deal to
transfer to go with your dad.
Right. Yeah, pretty much.
Dad, I just need you to sign off on this.
Dad, I can't do my chores this week because I have a radio show. But
you're going to be in the garage anyway. Just clean up in there.
But that's how that happened. So, all right. Well, thank you very much for listening this week to Extra Sauce. And I will remind you that you should subscribe to Extra Sauce on iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher. And please give us a rating.
A nice one.
We're always looking for kind ratings. We may not be able to personally thank you, but you should know that you are thanked.
We'll get LB to write a card to each and every one of
them. Yes, and we'll get him to throw in an autographed 8x10.
There you go.
And to ship that
off. That's a couple of stars.
In the mail. So Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, that's where you can subscribe for Extra Sauce. And we'll be back next week with another episode of our podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.